Passion, der Motorsport-Podcast von Servus TV. Alles zur MotoGP und World Superbike. Passion. Dafür schlägt unser Herz.
132 Tage muss Paul Espargaró auf diesen Moment warten. In Silverstone ist es endlich soweit. Das lang ersehnte Comeback nach dem folgenschweren Sturz zum Saisonstart. Der Weg dahin war lang und beschwerlich, voller Schmerzen, Tränen und Hoffnung. Heute ist der Spanier zu Gast im Passion Podcast. Er berichtet über die härteste Zeit seines Lebens, das gelungene Comeback in Großbritannien und sein Gefühl vor dem nächsten Rennen. Paul, you are smiling from one ear to another. Looks like the Austrian mountaineer treats you well, no?
Yes, for sure. I'm pretty used to come, you know, in this place. I feel like home because I live in Andorra. It's a mountain place where, you know, I prefer mountain than beach. I'm this kind of guys that likes cold than hot. So I feel really, really comfort here. Yes.
We Austrians like to hear that, of course. Of course.
Even if it's very hot here too.
Yeah, at the moment, really hot. But I like it, actually. Yeah. So we've already had a very emotional interview with you at Silverstone. Yeah. And many fans wrote us because they wanted to know more about you.
You made me cry, eh?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for that. But that's what people want to see, you know. Yeah, they want to see the real Paul. They want to see emotions. So it was really nice. I even started crying too. So
That was true.
But it was very nice. But today we also will talk shortly about what happened, but we will do it in another way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I will, of course, ask you again about the crash. Let's start with it. What is your memory of it?
Yeah, I mean, I have some flashes. I don't really remember, I would say, the full crash. I remember just some moments before the crash, some going in out of the pit box before the crash with a new tire and just I was Maverick overtook me just before the crash and I was behind Miguel, but you know the full crash I don't remember how I crashed or when I impact to the wall or just moments after or even the hospital there in Portimao in Portugal. I don't remember that. Just I started to wake up in the plane going to Barcelona after a couple of days. So, I mean, everything is quite confusing, but just some flashes and some images.
Maybe even better not to remember everything.
Exactly.
But it was already your second crash in that session.
Yeah.
And some people said at that time, is it because of the new format? Rider need to push sooner, they need to set fast laps quicker. Do you agree on that? Could it be a factor?
I agree. You know, it happened in the first crash. There is a device on the gas bike, which I was not used to in Honda. It's like, we say automatic. It's not automatic. You preset the rear device. So you when you preset, is that you push a button, and when you know, something happened on the bike in the acceleration that the bike detects that you are accelerating and then the rear part of the bike goes down. So I was not used to that. So I preset this device in a wrong place. So when I was about to enter in the entry of the last corner to entry of the straight, then my bike was fully down on the rear and I lost the front. So because the weight were not in the proper way. So that was the first crash. But it was not too fast. I mean, it was not too bad. But just the problem is it put extra pressure because then you need to pit in the box. You are stressful because you have crashed. You are with not the same speed or not the same confidence and you need to make one fast lap. It was the first time that we needed to push for this fast lap. And it was quite late on the day. It was the first time we were racing at this time. And especially in Portimao also, it was cold in that time. The wind
started
to blow. So
many things came together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then this happened.
Well, we finish with that day. We go on with
this is the technical part of the crash.
But it's nice to hear that too, because last time we didn't really talk about this aspect, but it's good to hear that too. But at the moment, I think everybody got used to the new format, so it probably won't have crashes like that, hopefully, anymore. In the last interview, you've already described the huge support of your wife, Carlotta, which was the emotional part, actually. How often did she see you in hospital?
She was with me all the time. I mean, she was 100% with me. The point is that her father's helped us so much because we have two babies, so it's almost 2 years and 3 years and a half. So in that time, they have a little bit less, like 4 months ago, but it's a big job. So their fathers took the girls, and she was stuck with me in the hospital 100%. All the time, she was just leaving for having lunch and dinner, and sleep. Then she was coming with me, and so and most of the time when I was in the UC, when they are taking care of you 24 hours a day, you cannot sleep there. But in the normal hospital, when you go to the when you are not as bad and you go to the normal room, then you have people sleeping with me. So she was there sleeping with me as well. So it was like 24 hours. She was with me 24 hours a day. So, but I needed her as well. You know, it's
of course.
It's something that you say, yeah, for sure, it's your wife. She has to be with you. It's same if it happened in reverse, I would be with her. Yeah, but you need to do that.
Of course.
It's not easy at all.
No, it's a huge commitment also from her side.
Exactly.
But you know each other for a pretty long time already. So
yeah, we've been now I'm 32. We started. I had 18. She had 16. So almost 15 years already. So it's quite a lot.
It's a very cute love story, actually, in the good and the bad times.
Yes.
Like it should be. So
yeah,
that's
exactly
how it should be. And you also said that it was painful to see her and all the other your family, I guess, suffering when they saw you in hospital, when they visited you. But you said that you realized in that moment it's time to stop being egoistic. It's time to stop that. You're not alone in this world. That's
yeah.
what you said.
Yeah.
But still, you decided to come back. So
yeah.
How come?
Yeah, in one way, when you are so bad, you feel that everyone is suffering for you. And you say, come on. You understand this world is so ego. I mean, the athletes world, the sports, you need to live for yourself. And just take care of yourself. The rest is not as important. And this is super egoist. And the people that is surrounding you, you need them to having a normal life, but you are not giving them what they deserve because you are just looking your ass. You know, it's like, it's about everything about you. So, but when these things happen and you realize everything, you realize how important is the person you have.
I guess
you,
so, yeah.
Exactly. It's like coming back to a reality. Go out of the bubble that we are normally living at and then understand it all in a moment. So then I realized I needed more that the family. I love more than my family than my sport. It was the first time, actually, I realized this. It's sad to say, but it's like that. And then when you start to recover, I was not happy. I mean, I wasn't happy. And my wife saw me that I was at home, I was with my daughters, and I was doing normal life, but she saw me and she's in one stage, she told me, you are not happy. You are not a happy man. Because I've been doing that since I'm like 3 years old, and I never been so for so long away. So I realized I was super unhappy. I was not happy. And I'm a happy guy. I'm always smiling.
Yeah, you
so
are.
I lost it. And my wife, as she loved me in the way I'm happy, because she know me in that way, she told me, you must come
so
back.
She was also the
yeah.
one telling you that.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So then you realize that you need to decide when to stop. You need to be sure that when you stop, it's the right moment. And it's because you decide, not because someone or an injury decided for you. You need to be 100% sure to say, I stop because I want to stop. And it was not the moment.
We are glad that it was not the moment yet. It's so great to see you here smiling
you.
Again. So
thank
you look happy now.
I am.
That's great. What about your brother in that time, Aleix? We couldn't talk about it last time in the interview. As a racer, he maybe has even a different approach to that. Maybe it's harder even for him because he knows it could have happened to him as well. Can you say
yeah.
anything about this?
Yeah, you know, at the beginning, the problem is, as the problem is now and he was so, full focus on this. You need to be so focused on this job. Even I'm his brother. I understand that if it happened to him, this thing, I would be with him so much. But he's away all the time. I mean, we are away all the time. And we couldn't spend so much time together because he was just racing. And when he was back home, he have also one daughter and one son. So, and the wife as well. So, I mean, our life is pretty complicated. Plus, you put your sons and your child, and then it gets even worse. So we spend quite a lot of time together, but not as much, for example, that with my wife and my family. But this is part of the game.
But you still felt support from
him, though. Yeah, 100%. Okay. I mean, we were talking quite a lot, and he were explaining me the things were happening here in more technical way, which I could understand, and in an honest way. I could call, for example, Brad Binder. I have a very good relationship with him, but I would not ask him kind of things that I could ask to my brother, you know, and these things were helping me quite a lot. Yeah.
I completely understand. I completely understand that. You said that a reason you wanted to come back is because you were unhappy and you wanted to come back as soon as possible. That's what also people ask us, so I'm just asking curiously.
Go for it.
Could another factor have been the discussions going on for the future, so that you kind of felt the need to come back to show that you're still here, want to stay for another year?
Well, first of all, I have to say that for me, during the injury, I was not looking. I was not even thinking about that. For me, it was the main thing. Also, I have to say I have a very, very good relationship with Pete Bader, with Huber, with Mr. Pierre. I mean, all the board members of this factory. I felt an amazing support from them, and this is I want to have it clear, because we normally used to say that this is a big family, you know, and sometimes
it looks like that also from the outside.
All the riders say from their companies, no, this is a big family, but. I'm sorry for the words. This is bullshit. You know, this is a business. But in that case, I felt that I've been surrendering for these people, and they were taking care of me in an amazing way. But I have to say, it was unbelievable. They were calling me. They were sending me flowers at home. They were just. It was amazing. They sent me at home even a one simulator to be fit and to come back earlier and to feel what it's. I mean, they were doing crazy things that I would never expect. So that was very nice. So because they were in that behavior, I was not even thinking about that. So then for sure the press start to talk about this. But I have a contract of 24 and 25. So my contract will end up in 2025. But apart from that, I love so much this factory. I'm so on this factory. Like I really want that this factory perform well, that I'm the first one that I'm going to step beside. If 2025 I'm not fast, I'm not the one who is going to push the factory and talk bad of the factory, because I want to be here. This is my seat. I don't care about this. If I do good results, I deserve to be here, then I will stay here. If not, I will move apart. I want that this factory succeeds.
That's very nice to hear that you're like putting the factory's interest in front, not
for
yours.
Sure. You have to be like that. Always.
But I think they know what they have on you, so that's very kind of you. Let's move quickly to the first race that you finally did in Silverstone. What was the first moment like when you got on that bike again? Like, were you smiling that session all the time, or was it more like painful or stressing?
What, that was so stressful. I mean, honestly, I have to say, I have a street bike, like to test on a 1000cc bike and I was in the a couple of times riding in Aragon circuit in Barcelona, and then I felt that, okay, I was quite fast with the 1000cc bike. I said, I feel ready, I'm not going to be so far away. Then I jump on the bike in the first practice. I said, oh my God, this is crazy. I mean, you do not, when you are away for 2 months in the winter, you come back and you say, how crazy we are to ride these machines. It's like, it's unbelievable. It's like 300 horsepower.
For us, it's crazy anyway.
with 150 kilos, it's just insane. And you cannot compare to anything else. So just the problem is that your brain is not able to take all the information in the fast way it needs to. So it's super stressful, and I was super stressed.
I guess so. And the first MotoGP sprint was something completely new for you. Do you think, I know the weather conditions were pretty tricky, but do you think it could be a format that suits you?
Yeah, I like it. I really like it, because I play quite a lot with the full grip. So I like full grip, and normally when the tire is not super grippy, I start to struggle a little bit more than the others. And when the tire is very grippy, I take a little bit better performance than the others. So I like this format. I was lucky, because in the first race I did, it was a little these mixed conditions, which it helps me a little bit, you know, to handle it in a better situation. But honestly, I really enjoy it. I really enjoyed that weekend, but it was tough.
I guess so. But you said that you didn't know what to expect from it. You came there like with no expectations, with no goal. You just wanted to see where you are. So basically, you know it now. So what can you take away from the last weekend for the next one, for this weekend, for example?
Yeah, going into Silverstone, it was like, what I'm going to find in my body. You know, I didn't know if I would jump on the bike and then suddenly in the right corners, I would have no power or something like, you know, weird things, because I had quite a lot of problems with my nerves and some muscles were affected. So I didn't know what to expect on this MotoGP bike. Finally, I were just tired, so tired, but this is something that it will come with the time. So, okay, Silverstone have passed already. We just make this race, and now here in Austria, it's time to perform a little bit better, to go for something, you know, and ask myself to a little bit more. And yeah, definitely, I'm ready for that.
Any specific goal you set already? Or just like more?
It depends of my physical conditions, because I think that my target is going to be Saturday. Saturday race, I think I'm going to be... I will perform better than on Sunday. Sunday is still, my body is not 100%. We were talking with Brad a few hours ago when we were in a meeting, and he said that he injured his hand, well, his arm, some time ago. And he told me that when he came back, he was completely done and finished, and he couldn't understand, you know, after 6 months being away or half a year, how I would feel. You know, it's tough. But that's why Saturday, I think with the sprint race, I have a good opportunity that I need to take profit of this.
We look forward to that. Is there still anything physically you need to take care of or you can't do?
Well, the left part of my body, like the left shoulders, all the left scapula, all the left muscles that I have on my back, they are still weak because I affect the nerves quite a lot. So the muscles are not in the 100% as the right side of my body. So luckily here in Austria, there is a couple of corners on left. Just one, there is one corner that it's, you know, going down a little bit on the it's T3 still. So that maybe it's going to affect me a little, but all the rest are on right side corner. So I feel pretty okay for this.
We will see, I guess so. And you also said that you trained as hard as never before when you got back in your shape. Are you intending to keep up this intense training, or will it like come down a little bit?
No, I will keep it up. I mean, I need to keep it up. I think one of the things that it helps me, because when I had the crash, I gained like 4 or 5 kilos during the pre-season in muscle. And thanks that when I crashed, I had all these muscles surrounding the bones. Because the impact was so big and so hard. So when I impact, I was around 67 kilos. Last year, I was about 63 kilos. So I think these kilos of muscles, it makes a big difference. Maybe not on riding, because we see that there is riders with not so much muscles on. But when you have an impact or you crash, these muscles help you a lot. So yeah, we'll keep it up.
So gym, swimming, everything. Okay, well, very nice one. And one last aspect, your brother, Aleix, he won the last race in Silverstone. Yes. Like it was a big surprise.
That was painful.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
But it was a big surprise. Like nobody expected it, but it was the 200th GP of Aprilia. So it was like perfect all in all. Is it somehow, you said, no, it's painful. I wanted to ask if it's an extra motivation for you.
It is. For sure it is, because you see, you know, it reminds me as when I was in KTM, you know, after 4 years, we end up fifth in the championship, same points than the fourth. So I would say we finished fourth in the championship. And this was because we were fast, but because we had a unified with the team and bike, and everything comes in one. We were one together with the mechanics, engineers, the bike, myself. So it's happening. I feel the same with Aprilia and my brother. They've been quite a lot of years together, so they become one with the bike, and they can take the maximum profit of the bike and of the package. And it's nice that at the end the effort and the, you know, the hard work pay off. So it doesn't matter if the manufacturer is so big, if you are not working hard enough, it will not come. So at the end, when it pays off like that, I'm happy, and especially for my brother, yes.
I hope it pays off for you also, your hard work. And I would say you gave us great insights today already last time, but today even more. So thanks so much, Paul, and all the best.
Thank you very much. Get on the gas. You got a little, you can use my you blow my mind, blow my mind.
Passion, der Motorsport-Podcast von Servus TV. Dafür schlägt unser Herz.